Be advised that the content of this podcast is for mature audiences due to subject matter.
You are listening to Romantic Truth with Josen, your host in Las Vegas.
Join us in celebrating Black History Month this February.
Hi everyone, Johnson with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas. All right, folks, we're going to get into a topic that people may find rather daunting. Now, before I start, Benjamin Jorgen wrote an article in regards to sex toys in the United States. Now, here's the thing, as far as the industry itself. He did a very, very in-depth study. And you can watch this and read it on facebook.com/romantictruth. And it has the full article there. So I wanted to make sure I acknowledge him and give him a shout out for the extensive research he's done with his team. And really proud of him. So Benjamin, if you're listening, hey, keep up the good work. Now, these stats were based over a five-year period, and they're pretty interesting. For instance, 78% of Americans over the age of 18 own a sex toy of some sort. 78%, folks. A lot of you are getting stimulated. Now, about half of that group, about 39%, of Americans over the age of 18 use this product, whatever it is, without a partner. And also, many of you in that 39% actually use this device within the last week. Now, there are other things that this survey reveal. Anal sex toy usage has gone up immensely, a 30% increase within 5 years, from 16% to 46%. Now, some of you folks are realizing that you're stimulated in other areas, including the back door. Some of y'all are just freaks. I'm just kidding. Hell, you're just people. Now, here's the thing that's interesting that I found out more than anything. And that is around 73% of you agree, in public, of course, that sex toys are taboo. And what this means, in essence, the way that people present themselves in public is not the way they behave in private. So you have a level of hypocrisy going on. And this is to be understandable and expected, because this is our human nature as people. Deny the things that we're into that may be compromising or may impugn our reputation, character, and so forth. We get it. We're still damn perverts. Anyway, 89% of Americans have bought from either a sex shop or an online store their product. Now, this doesn't mean 89% of the whole population. It's mean 89% of those who have purchased these items or those who use these items. And we're basing this on percentages, basically. Now, 40% of Americans over the age of 18, believe it or not, spent over $100 for their item. So that sex toy was very expensive. Now, you'll find people, because see, here's what you have to remember within this five-year period, what has happened. The advent of OnlyFans has come up. And so a lot of women are doing shows. And so they're using these toys in order to entertain people as well. So this increase can be attributed not only to that phenomenon, but also the phenomenon of the younger generation exploring their bodies a little bit more, trying to define their sexuality, trying to figure out who they are. Now, what we have to also look at is that many of these folks are going far beyond the pale of where most Americans have gone before when it came to their sexuality. They kind of kept it in the bedroom, kept it quiet, didn't want to talk about it. They were embarrassed by it. They were shamed by it. But this younger generation, the Gen Zs, are saying, you know what? We're going to put all that to the side and we're doing our thing. And what this has done is given older people confidence in order to now try to be themselves years and decades later. So it's not uncommon to see senior citizens talking about that they're heteroflexible or that they're bisexual, those kind of things, because now it's more acceptable socially. And it's coming after the fact in a way. Now, the other thing that we have to realize too with this study is that actual sex toys that are very, very popular with women is clitoral suction vibrators. Those seem to be the cat's meow, so to speak, for women. And it seems to be catching on, and it seems to be increasing in popularity. And this means that a lot of women now are self-pleasuring. Those ladies that, fellas, when they tell you that, you know, they're going to take their time with you and they're thinking whether or not it'll be the right choice to be with you, well, they have time to think because they're pleasuring themselves a lot of times. So with that, they don't have that sexual urgency or that sexual need. Now, some do, because it depends on the woman. If she wants a man between her legs, she's going to go for that. She wants the real thing. She doesn't want something that's superficial, artificial, or something that's improvised. Now, in the same group, you will also see that 20% of sex toys owners actually say that they have a better sex life and relationship with their partner. Now, what you have to realize is that the people that are within this group are those that have shared their internal desires with their partner. And this is something that they were doing prior to meeting them, and they've incorporated this into their relationship. The partner's not intimidated. In other words, the guy doesn't see the vibrator and runs out the room. He's sitting there and he's like, well, how can I help you get to that big O? And so this is what's happening now. So there's a level of education that's taking place. You see, a lot of men were intimidated by, you know, if a woman had a 14-inch dildo or some sort of kind of vibrator because he felt as though he was inadequate. Well, that comes with low self-esteem as well. You're already insecure. You're naked. You're most vulnerable you'll ever be. And therefore, you're subjected to more criticism than anyone else. Now, I want you to think about it. What if animals were that way? Where the animal didn't want to walk around naked, wanted to hide behind bushes and things like that. Could you imagine a rhino trying to hide his dick? Well, I'm not big enough for that female rhino over there. Of course, it's ridiculous. But as humans, we have this moral consciousness based on common courtesy in our society to put on clothes, of course. Now, the thing is that we have to also understand that no matter how we look at it, sex is an integral part of our lives, especially in relationships. And we have to figure out a way where we can manage many of our insecurities, many of our imperfections, and figure out a way of dealing with ourselves as we are. And that's a hard road to go down, because when you look at television and you look at the movies, they have all of these hot movie stars and people that are so gorgeous, and you think that, oh my God, I could never be like that. But here's the thing. I worked in the media for years, and I can tell you one thing for sure. A lot of those people that you think are so fine and hot, many of them, some of them have actual, they use tape to prop up their breasts sometimes, to bring in their waist, because they still have an image to uphold. And it's a superficial image. And a lot of you don't really realize that. And I didn't really become aware of this until it was a friend of mine that was getting ready to do a photo shoot. She was a model. And she was telling me that what they do, they have this kind of clear tape and they would put it on her body. And if she was wearing like a full outfit and they wanted to show the curves and everything on her body, they would use the tape in order to kind of put her physical appearance into that dress where it would definitely make another woman desire to wear it. These kind of things that are due, it's a lot of trickery. Covering up stretch marks with makeup, those kind of things. And we don't really realize that because what we're doing is we're seeing the end product, we're seeing the results. So we just see it and say we want it without really looking at how we're marketed to, for the most part. And a lot of times, women will think they have to seek perfection in order to get to that level. And they don't have to. Now, the one thing that you have to remember with this whole dynamic with these sex toys is that this is about pleasure. It's not about deviancy. It's not about you going around feeling as though you're some kind of lecher or something like that. This is just a way of people fulfilling themselves. Now, there are some people that actually are self-conscious about using toys in the sense that they feel as though, damn, I'm stuck with a device. Nobody wants me. And this is a misnomer. This is something you really shouldn't take on the burden of feeling bad about because of the fact that what you're doing is you're actually taking care of an urge that's a natural function and you're trying to figure out, okay, I'm going to take my time before I choose someone to come in my life. Because, see, there's more than penises coming into your lives, ladies. There's someone attached to it. There are problems attached to it. There are difficulties. There are challenges. There are compromises. There are all kinds of things attached to the guy that you would be with. And, fellas, this is the reason why a lot of women just want to have the sex sometimes, and they don't want the man because of this phenomenon. They don't want to have to deal with the overhead of the relationship. It's too heavy for some of them because they've gone through a relationship recently or they've gone through one where they have been so burdened with it that they want some relief. We get it. And they want some relief down there as well. But they may not want you. So this is the reason why I tell you guys, if she's starting out with sex very early in the relationship where that is the pinnacle, there's an agenda behind it. It could be her self-gratification, or it could be her giving herself up in exchange for something else that she'll need that she may perceive of more value than sex, such as a place to stay, money. Now, doesn't mean that all women are like that. There's some women that actually enjoy sex and don't have any problem with it, and that becomes part of their basic lifestyle. So they will go on and continue. But the one thing that I want you to understand as well is that sex is not a weapon. Even though some people weaponize it, that's not the primary design. It's an expression of love and sentiment towards your partner. It's the closest physical thing you can have with your partner. Now, the other thing too is this. When we looked at the numbers of who were buying most of the sex toys, believe it or not, it was Washington, D.C., New Hampshire. They were the two top states. And at one point, it was South Dakota, believe it or not. Now, in another study I looked at, Idaho was known for, when it came to fetishes and kinks, of course, electronic devices for sexual stimulation, which meant things that would shock you, things that, like remote vibrators, those kind of things they were using there. Texas was more known for spanking. Each of these states had their own thing. Alabama, it was the Google egg. I mean, not the Google egg, forgive me. The egg, sexual egg. It was like an egg that they insert inside the woman. It's just like an egg, but it's a vibrator. That was one of the things. Nevada, believe it or not, it was armpit sex. There were people that are right here in this state that I live in, that were doing Google searches mainly for armpit sex. That includes sniffing. That includes ejaculating in a woman's armpit. Don't know what that's about, but apparently that is a thing. So it varies from different states as to what is the popular trend of the day. Now, are some of the places with the least amount of sales were in the South, as far as Mississippi, when it came to vibrators and those kind of things. And a lot of that has to do with the culture. Being that I'm from Mississippi, I can tell you right now, anything that had to do with sex was pretty much taboo. Sex and alcohol. Because, see, in most of those states, they're trying to keep the morality of Christianity alive, even though there's a lot of deviancy behind the shadows. But the thing is, they don't want you to take on that or know it. And that's in many states. I mean, you know, you're going to have people that have the facade. I'll commit the sin, ask for forgiveness, go in public and act like I didn't sin. That's the attitude. That's the disposition for many people. Now, this is not a criticism because everybody has their own idiosyncrasies and their own way of coping or dealing with things. And the third state, in fact, that had the most devices sold was Colorado. So we know now people in Washington, D.C., people in New Hampshire, and people in Colorado are buying these devices. No indictment on the states, because the states are just a state. Like, again, I always tell you, the behavior of the people is not indicative of the environment. It's just what you're dealing with. Now, because you have people that are into these things in all 50 states and throughout the world. Globally, the biggest fetish globally has to do with toes, feet. And mainly men are into that because they feel as though if they're sucking a woman's toe, they can go up her thigh and get in between her vagina. That's the premise of it. A lot of women love to have whipped cream put in between their toes and licked and sucked from men. Another trend that is catching on are these younger women who are, instead of giving a guy head, they'll suck his big toe in order to arouse him. So it varies. There are different methods in which people use. It also depends on your erogenous zone and what stimulates you. So with this, it's to give you a perspective of what's out there. Because we all would like to really think about meeting a person and thinking they're this crisp, clean, cut person. But we have to realize that after you get involved in a relationship with a person, there's a lot more there behind the scenes. You know, it's just like when a person gets married, everyone's wishing them the best. They're hoping for the best. Everything goes well, honeymoon night. And then a couple of months after they're married, then the reality of marriage starts to kick in. The work starts. And a lot of people, when it comes to even meeting someone, when it comes to dating, some people get stuck when it starts to come into that point where you have to work in the relationship. That's when you'll see people start to backpedal, not to want to get too involved, not to want to get too serious. Because at this point, they look at it as a terminal disease. I'm not used to going this far in a relationship. I'm used to it ending after sex. There are some people that are like that. Once they have the sex, they're gone. You hear a lot of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and all of that. Well, if you look at it from the perspective of the woman not being satisfied, yes, that's what you'll get. But what we don't consider, women who do this to men. And that's where it doesn't even out, because we don't consider that. And a lot of women do that, where they'll sleep with a guy one time and that's it. Many of them will only sleep with the guy where he's penetrating her, especially if she's in a relationship or married, because that's all she would want from him. Or maybe she might not even let him go down on her. I mean, go in her, but go down on her only. And the reason for that is because she may look at it from the standpoint of not cheating on her partner because no one penetrated her. It all depends. When a person goes to have sex, they will have qualifiers, technicalities, that they will use to justify their actions. All of us do that. We have boundaries as well. So, with this is only a part of our human nature. So it's nothing absurd, it's nothing crazy, it's nothing perverted. This is the way we are as human creatures. We'll talk more in just a moment. All right, folks, let's go on. Like I was saying in the last segment, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Louisiana are the states where they have the least ownership of sex toys. The states with the most sex toys, Washington, D.C., which is not a state, but it's District of Columbia, our nation's capital, New Hampshire, and Colorado. They're buzzing away in those states. All right, now, one thing to also understand is this. When it comes to sex toys, that industry is growing 13% annually per year. So this is something that's going to be with us. This is not something that's a fad or that's going away. It's been increasing over the last 5 years. Now, there was a 17% jump in people 51 and over when it came to buying sex toys and ownership. That means that grandma, mom, auntie are definitely buying something for stimulation. They're not just sitting around idly by. Now, this, of course, in many cases, is going to be a temporary fix. It's not going to be something permanent. But you're wondering why mom, grandma is not getting laid. That's because she's probably laying herself. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. So please understand, this is a natural phenomenon. And they're looking to eventually get with someone, but they don't have to be with anyone. So they could be selective. They could take their time. And when they do find someone, then it's a little bit more constructive. But usually with women who are using sex toys, they want to introduce it into the relationship or into the bedroom as something that's complimentary where the guy will understand and not be threatened by it. There are other women that will try to conceal it and hide it because they're embarrassed. But in any case, they shouldn't be because, you know, a lot of men are going to have to grow up and understand that many of these women that use these toys are using them for gratification as a part of accompanying the experience. And men, you got to talk to them. You got to ask the questions. You got to listen to them. You're not being weak, you're not being emasculated because she has a device. It's going to intensify and assist her with that effort. Nothing's wrong with that. And some of you ladies are going to have to quit being so gun-shy about it because that's part of you, that's what you do. Now, one thing that women would commonly do with men is to maybe do a video clip of the masturbating and send it to the guy, or maybe take a nude photo in order to keep him interested or stimulated. Well, that may or may not work. Now, I know a lot of you are going and getting into your mindset saying, you know, this is disgusting. These people are disgusting. And many of you that are pointing the finger are the very people that do this. Usually when something hits too close to home, you're the first one to test it. That's the way it goes usually. Now, let's look at a few other stats here. Now, 21% of people who own sexual devices own five or more devices. Now, that's okay in certain states, except for Texas. I think Texas has a cap. I don't know if that law is still on the books, but there's a law in Texas where you're not supposed to have over five, I believe it's five, sexual devices. But we've had a lot of stupid laws in our society in general. In California, it was illegal to swim on land. In order for you to shoot a whale, you could only shoot them from a moving vehicle on land. In Canada, it's illegal to push a moose out of a plane. It's illegal to serve alcohol to a moose. In the state of Washington, it's illegal for you to disturb or harass Bigfoot. It's also illegal for you to harass a hibernating bear. In Mississippi, Alabama, it was illegal for you to put an ice cream cone in your back pocket. Silly laws. In the state of Texas, you cannot shoot a buffalo from the second story of a hotel. And you ask the question, why were these laws implemented? In Kingman, Arizona, I don't know if the law is still on the books, you could not allow a donkey to be in a bathtub. See, there was a flood there years ago, and this donkey was stuck, and it took all the community resources to get that donkey out. So they made a law about it afterwards. I think in the state of Utah, if I'm correct, either Utah or Wyoming, you cannot be on a horse and fish because you have an advantage over everyone else that's at ground level. In the state of Utah, they used to have the law, I don't know if it's still there, whereas if your wife acted up, broke things in the store, and slapped the manager of the store, the husband would be charged with the crime. You need to take care of your woman. So we've had some stupid laws in this country. And some of them, unfortunately, are still on the books. And don't ask me why. And you have all these legislators that go into office that you elect, you people elect all the time. And they don't think about changing some of these stupid laws and get them off the books that are in most cases not enforceable or outdated. There was one community in Illinois where you could not drive through their city without a steering wheel. Really? But these are laws that they have put on the books for some reason during that period. Now, 23% of people who own these sex toys actually engage in some sort of B&D and S&M. Now, this is something that's popular, of course, in Australia, because B&D and S&M is a big thing in Australia. So, usually these people are purchasing whips, cat nine tails, those kind of things, rope in order to be hogtied or whatever, or restrained, ball gags, those kind of things, vaginal spreaders. And for those of you who don't know, they have these things that look like little foam-like pyramids. And the woman sits on them and tries to stretch herself as far as she possibly can. Some people are into that. That's a kink and a fetish. So if you ever hear a woman say she's into stretching and she's into kink and she says her kink is stretching, what that means, she's used to having her vaginal area or anal area stretched. Now, I know this may be a little bit too much information for some of you, but I'm just trying to give you an idea of some of the things you may contend with as you meet people along the way when it comes to dating. Because you never know what a person is into. They don't have a sign on their forehead saying, bam, I'm into this. You have to find these things out. And again, this is part of the difficulty of dating, finding out what's going on with the person. Because what we want is, we want the cookie cutter romance that you see on romantic comedies where these people go in
and they just magically work things out. There are no arguments or anything. And haven't you noticed on many of these movies, you never see anybody with a job, or the job that they have is a pristine job that allows them to have time to pursue the relationship. You don't see too many people busting their ass in the factory and they have no time to even answer their phone, right? Of course not. Because they're selling you an image to get you to come to the theater, to forget about your reality and look at theirs. Now, when we talk about reality too, as far as with the sex industry, please understand that porn is bullshit. Some of you guys are trying to go get, you know, stay hard creams and all this stuff and trying to, you know, see if you can outlast as long as the guy did in the video. They have cut that scene so many times. They probably shot that over a series of days. And some of you are actually trying to strain a gut to try to be competitive or to keep up. You got to remember, those women are paid actresses. So all the moaning and groaning and all that stuff they're doing, more often than not, it's improvised. It's not real. You know, like the cum shots, when the woman is like full of sperm and she's just jutting it out. You know there's pina colada mixed in most cases, right? See, a lot of that stuff is made for entertainment. It's not made for you to pursue and try to be like it, just like people that want to be rappers after they go to a concert, that kind of thing. It's just designed to entertain you, to keep your eyes focused on that, to tell other people so that they could actually use that same film or whatever and make money off of it, where they, the producers can make money off of it. That's what it's designed to do. Most of those people in those movies make less than $1,000. So, please, save yourself the trouble, fellas. Quit trying to compete with those guys because it's not there. And another thing about you ladies, a lot of you see these very nice-looking actresses and women and singers and different models. Let me tell you, I didn't realize this until I dated a woman who was a model. And she told me, because she had stretch marks, her breasts sagged a little bit. And she would tell me, she said, no, she said, when I go into makeup and get ready for a shoot, they have this clear tape that they prop up my boobs with. She said, they have makeup that they put over my stomach to hide the stretch marks, to conceal. She said, it's not like you think. Sometimes they'll airbrush it or they'll Photoshop it. But a lot of times, she said, they'll go in there, put that filler into those gaps in those stretch marks, and you look pristine. Because they're selling you an illusion. And what they want you to do is be the inclusion of that illusion by having you go out and buy their product, buy their services. I'll never forget one time, she got out of bed and I looked at her and I'm like, she looks like an average woman. When she did the photo shoot, she had to wear all of these fancy clothes. They had her looking like $1 million. I mean, every curvature she had was showing, as if she had worked out in the gym and looked as if she was pristine, fresh out of the gym. And this woman never went to the gym. But she had the beautiful face, she had the height. So trust me, they have ways of doing that to make you look better than you are, even with the way they shoot it at the angle. So some of you are actually throwing good after bad. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, is that 10% of people who have sex toys use them on a daily basis. So it becomes more like a routine. So it's just like them being in a relationship, except they're satisfying themselves. And some people are cool with that. It depends. I know a lot of you are saying, I gotta have the real thing. Well, a lot of folks don't get the real thing, or they're very selective about the real thing they get. And sometimes it's indicative of them making wiser choices as well, compared to some of the choices a person may say when they say they want the real thing and they have four or five kids from four or five different men. Oops. So we have to look at that dynamic as well. Now, one of the largest increases that's taken place at around 51% has been from the demographic of 18 to 35. Hot damn, what you know. Remember that demographic I always talk about, 18 to 35? That is the generation that marketing companies know they can get the most value out of their dollar from. Make you feel like shit unless you have that $60,000 BMW. Make you feel like crap if you don't have that $1,400 iPhone. So naturally, they're going to market the same way to you when it comes down to these different devices, along with other kind of testosterone enhancement things. Because you got to remember, these are businesses first. And these businesses provide products and services for your satisfaction. And sometimes we fail to recognize that. And sometimes we should, because after all, it's one of the things that really hits us the most. Now, one of the other items that we would look at from this survey is the massive increase in seniors that are buying sex toys. 51% for people 51 and over. Now, why is this? A lot of these people are lonely. It's harder for them to meet people because you have many people that are still married, that are older. You will find a lot of women who are divorced or widowed, and they don't want to be left out. And you have women who are separated who don't want to be left out. So you run the gamut there of people that may not be so socially active for whatever reason. And for this, you'll see some women who are older that says, you know, okay, enough of this vibrator shit. Let me get a younger man who's hard just like a vibrator is. That's the reason why a lot of these older women don't want to deal with older men or men in their peer group, because they don't want to deal with ED and that kind of thing. You'll hear it a lot. Now, the other thing that you have to also understand is this. With this kind of lifestyle choice, because it's part of your lifestyle, you have to be comfortable with it. You can't be self-critical. Like the lady who ordered a dildo on Amazon that I played a clip for, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. And when she ordered it, she didn't realize how big it was until it came in the mail. She was already embarrassed because she had ordered it. They had messed up her order. And she was going back and forth with the email trying to get it straightened out. Finally, they delivered it, and she saw how big the thing was. And she tried it, and she says, oh, no, that thing hurts. It's too big. So what she decided to do was to take a kitchen's knife and try to whittle it down to a different size, and it didn't quite fit. So she melted it down. And needless to say, that was horrific. So she wound up throwing away a considerable amount of money on something when she really didn't consider her own comfort and size. She was only comfortable with about 5 inches. But this thing was 9.5. Sometimes you're like a kid, you see something, you want it until you get it, and then after you get it, you're saying, oh, hell no. And this happens with people too, folks. I've seen women break up with guys because they were too big. I've been denied a relationship because of that by a lady. So it does happen. Now, the other thing we have to realize is that we're only human. We're going to have our flaws. We're going to have our embarrassing moments. We're going to have our good times. But if you start criticizing yourself so much that you can't enjoy life, what's the use of living it? So one of the main things you want to do is to come to grips with the fact that you should be happy. We're going to talk more in a moment. All right, now let's continue on here. What we found out is that from this research that was done, and it was based on a study of about 1,756 people or so. You can read the article on facebook.com/romantictruth. Now, don't forget to like and follow as well. Now, the thing we have to realize is that there was a high degree of individualism that was introduced to our society within the last 5 years. Now, naturally, we would think certain phenomenon would take place. But let's look at some of the things here. One, you would think that people would be more individualistic when it comes down to using these sex toys by themselves. Well, the interesting thing, the demographic from 18 to 35, only 14% we use with a partner. Now, that's 14%. So the majority of people would prefer not using a sex toy with a partner. That'd be more individualistic. Now, when we look at adults 51 plus, only 7% would use that with a partner. So what does that tell you? It tells you that these people would feel as though that's an experience that they want to enjoy themselves. But both of these are small demographics compared to the larger. Now, overall, there are somewhere around 51 million Americans that own sex toys in the United States. Around 51 million. Now, keep in mind, 27% of the U.S. population is what that amounts to, roughly. Now, 51% actually used a device within the last week. And I know it's kind of funny for you to think, damn, I can go into work and, you know, somebody's used a vibrator or someone's used a dildo or a pocket pussy. For those of you who don't know, a pocket pussy is something that men use. And it's more or less like a vagina that a guy can go and put his manhood in. That's, of course, artificial. Now, 82% of women own some sort of device, at least one. Now, it's not uncommon, and women try to hide this, of course, because it's embarrassing. But there are some women who are open with it. In fact, believe it or not, some women use that as a marketing tool when they're trying to get a guy's interest as far as to date him. Well, not necessarily in the beginning, but I'll give you an example. I was dating a lady one time, and we had gone out, had fun, had a wonderful date, and we were joking around, and she says, damn, you know, I can't wait to get to know you better, because after that, I will have to quit buying so many batteries for my vibrator. And she started laughing. And what she meant was, of course, that she was ready to become intimate, but she didn't know me well enough. But she said it in a joking way that kind of broke the tension. And more or less what she was saying was, I'm not one of these women that you got to wait around for, but I got to get to know you better. And oh, don't worry about that. It was kind of revealing, but what it was very intriguing. And it, you know, really worked out where she actually measured up to the kind of person that she had exemplified herself to be, which I thought was kind of interesting. Because, you know, a lot of times you'll get people that will brag about things and joke about things and tease. But she was the real thing. And so it does work out. All right, let's carry on here. Now, about 75% of men own these devices as well, these sex toys. Now, they don't have the frequency of the male usage of them, but I'm sure more than likely they're wearing them out. Now, these sex toys for men, and for couples sometimes, because there are couples that do this, also include life-size dolls. There are dolls where men can order skin tone, flesh, hair color, eyes, not the blow-up dolls. I'm talking about these things are like lifelike. There's a company that manufactures them. And they're very detail-oriented down to the eye color, the shape, and everything. And some people find that fascinating. I was reading an article about a couple who decided to do this because the wife was interested in being with the woman, and the man was interested in being with another person, but they didn't want to cheat on each other. So what they chose to do was to go, and these dolls are very expensive. They run anywhere from $5,000-$10,000 and up. And they bought this doll. And the wife dressed her up just like a woman. And the three of them had sex with her. Well, the two of them had sex with her. Some people, they have that in their wheelhouse. It all depends on the individual. The only thing I can tell you is after reading that article, I got an education. It was like, wow, because you don't think people do things like that. Because you don't run across that every day. But you never know. Now, as we know, 39% of people prefer to have sex alone. Now, here's the thing that you have to realize too. Many of these people that get involved with this and that do this, they're actually not really looking for people sometimes for a relationship. They are okay with where they are. So if they meet someone along the way, they're fine. If they don't, they're fine. It's not a big thing. Now, the other thing that you will find is that older people will use sex toys more often. And they usually use them alone more often than the younger generation. Now, this demographic has shifted a lot, because what used to happen would be these individuals would share with partners. The younger demographic seemed to have kind of withdrawn from that, as well as part of the older demographic. And they would prefer enjoying that pleasure themselves. Now, for whatever reason, but see, what that tells you is that this is the impact of some of the individualism that we have been facing in our society, where people are now becoming more centric. And here is the problem for some people, unfortunately. They get accustomed to being so alone that they have very little tolerance for anyone else. They have a limited tolerance for differences, a limited tolerance for any kind of different opinions. So as they see it, their way of the highway, which means this also occurs in the bedroom, something that they may be into, and maybe you be into something else, and they're like, oh no, we won't do. And so this is more of a confirmation of their belief structure. This is to underscore or to validate their beliefs, whatever it is, in regards to the sexual preference, the sexual desires, the sexual gratification. So in this way, if that means that they don't interact with anyone else or don't remain isolated or single, they feel as though, hey, no problem, no loss. Now, the other thing you have to realize is that a lot of these older people are transitioning from a draconian era in our society when sex was taboo, looked upon negatively, whereas in countries like Europe, different parts in the world, things are different. I'll never forget when I was in the Philippines, my girlfriend and I at the time, getting ready to go to the store. Well, she wanted to go shower because it was humid. And she went and took a shower, and she just wrapped a towel around her torso, put on some flip-flops, and put a towel on her head, and we went to the grocery store. Well, I thought that was kind of odd. Culturally, I wasn't used to that in the U.S. But when we got there, there were other women dressed like that. There was one woman, her towel fell off. And let me tell you, But the thing is, culturally, they're used to it. But in certain parts of the country, in certain parts of the world, sex is taboo. In Sweden, in places like Iceland, a woman may want to sleep with you or may be the provocateur when it comes to sex. And there are some women in many of these Scandinavian countries where they would need to sleep with you first to see whether or not they will date you, because they want to make sure that the satisfaction is there, the fit is there. Guys, this is the reason why I tell you, your fit inside of a woman is more important than your size. Because see, when you're comfortable to her and you have a good, solid fit inside of her, one thing, she probably don't want you to pull out. The other thing is you're comfortable. So it fits the whole narrative. She's looking at it, she's comfortable with you, she likes you, she's envisioned herself with you romantically, and you're not causing her any pain down there. Now, if she's a little sore, she doesn't mind that, especially if she hadn't had sex in a while. But the thing is, unless she's into other things like B&D or something like that, where she will go into pain, then it's different. Now, one of the other main sexual activities is masochism, globally. Pain. Some people like a hint of pain during sex. I personally don't like pain, don't like distributing. But there are some women and men that like pain. And of course, it depends on what they are into. Paddling and spanking are usually one of the main forms that people will go through and use. And there are others. There are other fetishes out there, lifestyles and kinks. Ballooning. Some of you probably never heard of that. This is when people blow up balloons and they're having sex and they get an erotic jolt when they pop. Like, for instance, a couple may decide to blow up a balloon and have the woman lay on top of it while they're in a missionary position, and they're trying to keep the balloon from popping until she and he orgasm at the same time, and when they do, that's the thing that sends them over the moon. Some of them will do that. Others will have these, you remember the animal balloons that people would make? Some will go and use those for other purposes. But the whole thing is with that is the popping of the balloons. Some women get stimulated with them popping and the stinging on the nipples. It all depends. You have to talk to your partner and it has to be consensual. That's the requirement. Now, there are other lifestyles that I'm not going to go into many details with, where you would sign contracts in order to be treated a certain way. And when you get into that, that's the heavy lifting. Usually those are with people that are in kink. There's a difference between fetish and kink. Fetish is something that you happen upon that you like, and it's something that you kind of desire on a regular basis. Like, for instance, you may be into a person of a different race. You may be into fat women or fat men. You may be into guys with big penises. You may be into a woman with small breasts. You may be into a woman with wide hips and small breasts, or a big butt and small breasts, or a small waist, long hair. It could be hairy armpits. It could be a whole different plethora of things. But these are something that turns you on. With a kink, the difference is it's a lifestyle. This is something that person must have before they would get involved with them, because there's a devotion to the lifestyle. And therefore, the correlation is that person has to fit into that window of whatever they desire. So a person with a fetish is more flexible than a person with a kink. Now, as you can see, there's a lot of complexities with people, with human beings in general, with all of us. Sometimes it's hard for us to even think about relating to each other at times. Just in basic conversation, philosophical views, religion, politics. And when you get into the realm of talking about bedroom chores or sex, that's a whole different realm for some people. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if I can deal with this. And there's some things where you say, oh, that's no problem. Now, let me make a distinction here. When these people are into fetishes and kinks, let's not blur the lines and try to make it a legal activity. Many of these people are law-abiding people, loving people, and they just have these quirks and idiosyncrasies. What do I mean by this is that society tries to throw everything in one basket, such as deplorable acts against minors and animals and things like that. These people are not into that. They don't condone it. They don't endorse it. They're repulsed by it just like everyone else in society. These are consenting adults only, 18 and over. Because what we like to do is to lump things into a stereotype, because in that way it makes it much better for us to comprehend those people over there, that person, those people. It's not about that, folks. Now, things that people don't quite realize. In some ways, a person may choose you based on a fetish or based on a kink, but usually based on a fetish. The guy may comment, oh, you know, she has beautiful red hair. Or deep inside, he may have wanted a red-headed woman and nobody else. You know, under your preferences, when you have your values that sets with your standards, and your preferences are under your standards, those preferences, in essence, may correlate with the fetish that you have. A few extra curves. Which means that turns you on. Hair color, eye color, those kind of things. And see, these guys know this at these dating sites. They know these things because they know that as humans, we have certain things that we key on. And usually with fetishes, it's going to start out with maybe one or two things, and then it's going to expand. especially if they have an experience with someone that they really admire, but things may have not worked out. They now may have a pattern of the type of person they want to be with. Others base it on celebrities. Others may base it on someone they know. I remember one lady I went out with. She told me that the reason why we couldn't be together is because I didn't remind her of her father. I thought that was kind of strange. But she called her father a handsome man, and she was looking for a man that was like him. That looked like him. But that was her own preference. And you run across some people that are like that. People have different quirks, idiosyncrasies you don't know anything about. There was a lady that I went out with one time, and this was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. We went to a coffee shop, Black Dog Coffee on Wilshire. She ordered a coffee, and she wanted hot chocolate. And I guess they were going to put it in a separate container. And she got it, and the first thing she did was mix it in this larger container and shook it up and drank it. Black coffee and hot chocolate. And I asked her, why? She said, because I get the jitteriness from the caffeine. But the hot chocolate actually helps me with the taste. Folks, it was June. It was hot as fuck in LA. But that was one of the things she wanted every morning. Very smart, very nice, very well-rounded, but she had her quirks. Like, for instance, the lady I told you about that I dated who drove the hearse, that 68 Pontiac hearse. Her kink was she liked death. Things associated with death. When I met her, I just thought she was a beautiful woman. And at first she looked at me and kind of didn't want to date me because she was afraid that I was going to judge her. Very pale makeup, red lipstick, the reddest lipstick I've ever seen on a woman. Long black flowing straight hair, with a white stripe on one side. She had a tattooed sleeve. We met at Tower Records, got in the parking lot, listened to music inside her hearse. She had a nice sound system in it. And she was afraid I was going to judge her based on the way she looked and the hearse she drove. Nope. Everybody looked at us like we were crazy when they came out of the building. That was okay. And it was quirky. We had lunch in the cemetery inside of our hearse, which was kind of interesting. And there were people that actually offered to buy it from her. She wouldn't sell it. A very sweet, interesting, and nice person that I had a pretty good relationship with. And you know, you're going to find people with certain quirks. Some may not be as obvious or as big as others, but you're going to have some. I knew this one lady, and she would never cook. She would buy all this food. And she'd go to the grocery store every time we talked. I'm headed to the grocery store. You need anything? No, I'm fine. But she never cooked. What she would do is take the food over to her mother's house and have her mother cook the food. And then she would bring it home. Because for some reason, she never grew out of her mother being the person in the kitchen. This woman was 32 years old. She didn't know how to cook. My mother tried to teach her several times. She never wanted to learn. And her mother used to ask her, what happens when I die? How are you going to eat? You're going to starve. She said, no, I'm just going to get fast food. She had no intentions of ever fending for herself. She tried cooking one time, folks. Let me tell you something. She burned water. Yeah. Not the greatest when it came down to the kitchen. We'll talk more in just a moment. All right, folks. Now, let's take a look at some of the ownership of certain products that people are purchasing and have purchased and owned. BDSM equipment is number one. The love egg is number two. The one that was very popular in Alabama. Dildos, followed by lubricants of all kinds, especially the flavored kind. Masturbators. And these are things such as these masturbatory machines. In other words, a penis is connected to this rotating arm, and the woman lays there, and she's penetrated by it. Sex dolls is the other one. Penis, vaginal, and breast pumps are a big thing as well. Cock rings and sleeves. And vibrators, of course. And these vibrators include the remote vibrators, where the woman can have one and the operator of it can be in another location. Some of them are actually activated by apps. So the woman may already have one, give the guy the information to download the app from one of the stores, and then give him her code, and he could make it vibrate or make it pleasure her during certain times. So, when it comes down to it, those are the sex toys that people are most interested in and that own the most. Now, when it comes down to the type of increases in sex toys, what has been the surge? Believe it or not, the surge has been in anal sex toys among women and transgenders. Now, 46% is the current number of people that, the percentage of the people that are into that. Now, this is up from 16% back in 2017. Also, we ought to consider this. 33% let me see what we got here. 33% are still into I don't really know how to read this. I'm trying to look at it here. Oh, I got it now. 33% is looking at it from the standpoint of at least trying it, as opposed to 15%. There we go. Now, what this means is that around 21% of those group would like to try it. Now, one thing that's becoming very popular with women are these tails. What these tails are, it's an insertion that they put in their buttocks. And when they put it into their anus, it has a furry tail on the back. And this is one of those things that some women use. Now, as I said before, being that we had an increase in things such as OnlyFans, it's not uncommon for this to also be indicative of that increase. Because, as you know, a lot of women are using this for a means of income. So, this may have an impact as well. As I said before, there's so many areas people can go with this. And we're just giving you a visual on what is actually going on with this industry in relation to your relationships, because some of you will encounter or have encountered people where that is a big thing. That's a deal breaker for some of you, where you would have to see about being involved with them. Now, what this does also, it gives you the ability to do your due diligence. When you run across somebody like that, to have an idea of what they're into and where you can make a better informed decision instead of walking in there ignorant and then trying to find out and then find out you don't like it or find out that you do like it. So in this way, you'll have an idea of what's going on before you get there. The worst thing in the world is to get involved in a relationship with someone that's into something and you don't know what the hell it is, and you're sloughing it off, and then all of a sudden they put it in your face and you're like, oh, I don't like that. And you realize you've wasted your time. That's what you're trying to avoid here. Now, another thing too that I'm going to bring up. A lot of times people will feel as though they're entitled to impose whatever lifestyle they have on you, on them. You're not required to participate. You have discretion. It's up to you. And don't get to a point of thinking you're under some peer pressure in order to capitulate, in order to curry favor with that person. You want it where you still have your independence, you still have your dignity, your self-respect. Now, pointing the finger at them is doing no good, because you'll be fulfilling the prophecy that they already expect from most people. You're going to condemn me for what I do without knowing me. So instead, it's just best to walk away if it's not something you're into. And a lot of times we like to be self-righteous, and we like to pass our judgment to make ourselves feel better, because that's all we're doing with that. For the most part, we're not converting anyone. We're trying to reinforce our own insecurities so that we'll feel better about ourselves. I told that person. That person's not going to impugn my dignity or impugn my character. Back for Satan, you know, something of that sort. And unfortunately, people take on that persona as if they're the self-righteous consciousness of society. Being yourself is the best person you could be. All the rest of this improvised bullshit, that's all it is. Just be you. If you're into kink, if you're into fetish, if you like certain things, go for it. There's some women that like feathers. I met a woman, she liked to go and take a feather and rub her clitoris with it. That was something that got her off. You will find people with different types of fetishes. There was a lady that I was reading about recently. She would deliberately go and buy jeans that were a size too small for her, because she liked the way the seam of the jeans rolled over her clitoris when she would walk, when she would be seated. It would stimulate her. There are some people that are like that. So it varies. It varies. You see, ladies, one thing you got to remember about us men, if we sit too long, we'll get hard. If we sit on a wooden bench or something like that, we'll fuck around and get hard. It's an involuntary stimulation. It happens. You know, there's this lady that's a school teacher that I knew very well. She and I never dated. And I remember one day, I was going to take her to lunch, and I got to school to see her. And she taught like eighth graders. And she had this habit of crossing her ankles and sitting on her desk. And I told her, I said, you know, you might want to cut that out. She said, well, I'm wearing a long skirt. Nobody can see anything. I said, yeah, but here's the thing the guys are thinking. Is that, damn. And I explained to her, and she says, you only think like that. Those kids don't think that way. Well, that's what she thought. There was a guy that graduated out of her class and went on to high school, finished high school, and came back. And he tried to actually talk to her. And of course, she kind of patted him on the head and said, you know, little boy, go somewhere and play. And he talked about the thing that aroused him was when she would sit up on the desk. And what she didn't realize was the guys were trying to look under her skirt. This is the reason why at work you have dress codes. And I know you ladies say, oh, these guys are creeps. But here's the thing. Some of you know damn well you shouldn't be leaving the house the way you do. Let's be honest. I can't tell you how many women I had to send home when I was a project manager. One girl had some low-rise jeans on, didn't have on any underwear. And she went to stand up after laying the cable, and when she did, her pants fell off. There was another one that I had that showed up in a dress with no panties on, bending over. I had to send her home. Because there are women out there that want attention. And see, the problem is they think they're exempt because the man's a creep if he's thinking sexually. Well, hell, if you're bending over like that and doing all those things, of course he's going to think sexually. Now, this is no causation for someone to qualify someone to rape someone. Let's get that straight. But what I am saying is that some of these women are seeking attention so badly that they go out and do these type of things. They don't have to. Now, I gave the young ladies, both of them, a good talking to about that. And the one with the dress actually told me, I'm going to get a lawyer and sue you. I said, for what? She said that I was taking away her rights. Well, this sounded good in the initial stages until I got a letter from the contractor that we were supposed to be doing the work for. And I read the letter to her and let her see it. It was a complaint about the way she was dressed. And see, this is what happens. See, a lot of times people think that what they can do at home, they can do at work. You got to comport yourself. Why do you think all these people with these fetishes and different things and these sex toys and all, they don't bring that shit to work. They don't talk about that at work. Well, some women do bring it to work. But and some, let me get involved with that. Well, here's the thing I will say. Most people don't do that. That's not a norm. When you're there at work, you're there to work. It's not a social hour. It's not where you're trying to pick up people. Even though you spend a lot of time with people, you kind of let your hair down and get to know them a bit, but sometimes it goes a little bit too far. But you should always have your boundaries. And some people just don't have those things, no matter how they try to act like they're implementing them. They just don't have them. And sometimes you gotta go and underscore them and have them. Because it becomes insulting. Now, the other thing you have to look at with this, you always have a choice to be with someone or not to. And don't allow your feelings to go against your morals and your standards. You feel for this person, you want this person, and this person is engaged in a certain lifestyle that may be
counter to what you believe in. Now, you shouldn't put yourself in a position where you got to make a decision between your morality and losing them. Somebody's got to lose. It should be the other person and not you. But sometimes you don't realize that. Again, it has to be with your comfort and your consent. Fellas, those are two words that you will need to learn with women. Comfort and consent. One of the other words that women will have that starts with a C is curiosity. There are some women that are actually having sex with you out of curiosity. See what it's like. Exploratory sex. So, they will have to be comfortable in that regard. Now, I'm just looking at some of the things here. So overall, we've covered most of the study and most of the information that's pertaining to it. But the one thing to keep in mind is that these numbers are increasing. And he did some pretty good work as far as really honing down things as well. Now, about 11% of people that use sex toys actually use it out of habit, which is kind of interesting as well. That means that it's part of their routine, their life routine. So, in other words, these people will break up with someone that wasn't into that as opposed to someone that accepts it. So that would be a deal breaker for about 11% of people. Now, that number at 11% increased from 5% over 5 years. So there was a 6% increase. So these people are now becoming a little bit more abreast with what's going on and with themselves as well. Now, what we also have to realize is that a lot of people are getting to a point where they care less about what society thinks of them. And attitudes have changed because people are no longer looking at it as taboo, even though people on their public face will say sex toys and sexual activity is taboo. In their actions, it's totally different. And we know that this foolishness has been taking place for years. We can look at some of the religious institutions that would tell you not to do certain things, but yet they get caught up in other scandals, right? As an example, not to mention some of the lawmakers, the very people that make our laws that try to leave loopholes so that they can get out of them just in case they get caught in them. So it doesn't really change. It's just more of the same over and over. Now, when it comes down to other things here, I'm just looking at a few things, and they're talking about the types of sex that they have with these toys and those kind of things. But you can read the article on many of that stuff. But it's there on facebook.com/romantictruth. But the one thing that I want, the things I want you to take away from this is that if you are by any chance using these devices, don't think of yourself as being less than anyone else. If anything, you should look at yourself as being more honest than most people. Because you're true to yourself about what you do. You make no reservations, no excuses about it. And a lot of people and a lot of women would love to have these devices, but many of them can't afford them. Some of them don't know what to get, don't know what to use. They're embarrassed to go to an adult bookstore and they think that's the only place they can buy these things. You can go on Amazon or anywhere and buy them online. Not hard to do. But the thing you have to also consider is that it's about self-perception. It's about how you feel about yourself. And sometimes you go negative for no reason. And this is a positive thing to give you that gratification you so desire. Nothing's wrong with that. So, overall, what are we talking about? We're talking about your enjoyment, your prerequisite for happiness, and the fun that you can have in that process. And of course, some people may feel left out because it's like, well, that means that my partner doesn't need me. Not necessarily. That means that that person has a better awareness of self. And maybe you should not look at that as a threat and more as something that can benefit you. Yes, married couples actually have these kind of things going on as well. So it's not like you're seeing a whole bunch of young single people that are out there just buying these toys. They're married people that are doing it as well. The thing is that as long as the two of you are consenting and enjoying it together, what's the big deal? Ladies, quit being ashamed of your sexual desires. Express them. Let your partner know. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Because the more he knows, the more you share with him, the better he can share with you. And once you get to that point where, let me tell you something, folks. Once you get to that point in your relationship where it gets to a point where you are so into each other, you can't wait to get in bed with each other, and it's not just sex, it's like you want that person inside you, or you want to be inside that person out of closeness, you have something. That was one thing I learned with Monica more than anything, because I realized it wasn't so much the sex as the closeness, as the intimacy. I'll never forget one night we were having sex. I was inside of her and she looked at me. She stroked my face and she said, you know, if I could just melt you into my body, I'd be the happiest person in the world. And I was like, damn, that's deep. But what she meant was she wanted me to be with her 24/7. Not out of this sense of neediness, but out of the sense of comfort, of support and love. And it was really weird, because I never had a woman to tell me that before and meant it. It was tough, because when you haven't heard anything like that before, you're like, whoa, damn, this is deep. And I'll never forget her telling me this. And it resonates with me to this day because she passed away in 2014. She says, if I do die, no matter where I go, where I wind up in life, she says, even if I'm gone, me and Peter are going to be at the gates of heaven waiting for you. I was like, damn. I said, but how do you know I'm going to make it to heaven? She said, don't worry. She said, I'll figure out a way to get you out of hell. Said, but I'm gonna wait for you. That was powerful. Because usually in relationships, you don't have anybody that gives a damn about you that much. And I was like, whoa, that's some deep shit. I said, even if we go on this accordion that we do where we are together and then you go back to Italy and then you come back and then we're together again. She said, doesn't matter. I was like, damn. So,
At least when I die, that's one thing I can look forward to, I guess. I won't know until it happens. But I can truly say that I'm happy I met her, because she gave me a different perspective on life that was very positive. She gave me a gift of who she was and what she was about that allowed me to understand a lot of things. And she used to crack me up when we would have debates or disputes about things. She will say, "Well, let me implement my Roman diplomacy." And she would have a sustainable argument, which I appreciated. That's one person I'm really thankful that God allowed me to meet in this lifetime. You'll find people like that in life. They really have an indelible impact on you. They make you look at yourself. And see, these people don't have to change you. They don't even have to influence you. It's up to you to make the change based on how they've been. Well, folks, I gotta go. I'm gonna do something the devil never done. I'm gonna leave you alone. But I'll talk to you on tomorrow. Take care.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jorzen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jausan in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jorzen 1 Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with 2 Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.